Seating. Hello.
Hi.
You had some technical difficulties.
I still can't. I have no idea what's wrong with my wireless headset, but I still can't use it.
Are you getting power? Huh.
Yeah, I have no idea. It just, as soon as I plug in the little USB thing, all the sound goes away. I can't hear anything from anywhere. So I rummaged through my drawers and found my old one with wires.
Well, at least you have a backup. You know,
Yeah.
mine does that a lot. My wireless one.
Yeah, I
And I
usually I
have
can
to, I,
unplug it and plug it in and it's
that,
okay.
well, usually I have to do it about 8 or 9 times. That's why I usually test early.
Skype is annoying.
I don't think it's Skype. I think it's these wireless USB things.
It might be, but it's like every time I launch Skype, it needs to install something new
Oh,
every
that yeah,
single
you're
time.
right. That part is annoying. It's like how many goddamn fix how many bugs do you have in this
Yes.
system? Jesus Christ.
I know. It's like I don't run any other programs on my computer that every single time it needs to like install something brand new.
Think it
It's
installs more stuff so it can give you more advertisements.
probably. So how are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. What's new?
You seem a little flustered though.
I was flustered because of the headset situation.
Yeah. No, be honest, it's 'cause you weren't on time. You get really unrelaxed when you're not on time.
10:25. I'm like, okay, I'm all set. I'm gonna sit here, and nothing's working.
Yeah.
So that's how it goes. So
Yeah,
what's going on?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to fix the sprinkler as soon as this is over, at least try. I hate doing it because there's usually water in the pipes and the hole floods and
That's fun.
every year I hope that I don't have to replace a head.
What do you have, like automatic sprinklers?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I just have to mow the lawn outside. And I get done today.
Yeah. Do you have
It's just been.
sprinklers or you don't need them?
No, we really. Well, I don't have them, but it's been. I don't know how. Well, I know you had that crazy snow, but it rains at least every other day here, if not more.
Oh, so you have
It's been like
natural
that.
sprinklers.
Yeah, it's hard to be able to mow the lawn because if you have little like lower areas, it's constantly wet and muddy.
Ah.
I have to wait for like there's a good, day and a half in a row where there's no rain so I can run out there and mow. But it rained hard last night, but I'm gonna have to do it anyhow because, I actually have time to do it. So.
Well, you just went to a Buffalo Nickel City convention or something like that, right?
That's true. I did, as a matter of
Yeah.
fact. Yeah, I would have liked to have seen you there.
Yeah.
You would have had fun.
It would have been a good time.
They don't. It's not big. They have a handful of artists there, and like they try to do the celebrity thing,
Yeah.
but it's usually maybe B minus or C plus list celebrities.
Yeah.
But this year they had terrible luck. They tried to they booked Dean Cain. And he had to cancel for whatever reason, but that was he canceled well in advance of the show, like months in
Yeah.
advance. So then they got Abraham and Aaron from The Walking Dead. I don't know their real names. I know it's Ross
Who is
Mark.
Aaron? I forgot who that is.
He's the one guy that I think first introduced them to Alexandria. He was like their scout.
Oh, okay.
Went around and he was he's gay. He had that
Yeah,
boyfriend Aaron,
and
that died.
he's still in the show.
Aaron's still in the
Yes,
show. He
he's still
lost
alive.
his arm.
Spoilers.
Yeah. So both of them, I'm like, oh, that's. I mean, not that I'm gonna do anything with them, but in terms of
Yeah.
getting extra, people to come to the show, I said, oh, that's kind of cool. Those are, some decent people. And
And they canceled.
the week before or 2 weeks before or something like that, they got called back for filming. So I'm feeling
Abraham?
they're probably doing some flashbacks or something like that, I bet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So then at that point, I mean, there's no time to really get anyone. The biggest name they ended up being able to get, totally different type of a celebrity, but they got Linda Blair from The Exorcist.
Oh, that's a big one.
It's not bad, but the
To
day
me,
before,
that's the biggest draw.
yeah, the day before the con,
Yeah.
she canceled due to illness.
Oh, jeez.
They literally had, I mean, I can't even tell
They
you.
were
I think,
haunted, man.
yeah, the biggest celebrity guests they had, I'm guessing, were like wrestlers, but I don't follow wrestling, so I have no
Yeah.
idea who they were.
Well, I mean, for
But yeah.
people that like that kind of stuff, they probably were very disappointed.
There was a lot of people complaining, and like they always do, about complaining about
Well,
everything
they
and
should
saying that I'm not
I mean,
coming.
if you're going to see celebrities, they should at least offer your money back if you don't want to go.
They should.
I think, especially if you're going for like Dean Cain or
Yeah, I
I would
agree.
actually think the Walking Dead people would be hotter properties than the Dean Cain right now.
Yeah, I
I mean,
agree.
yeah, Dean Cain was Lois and Clark Superman, but it's
Yeah,
been
that
a
was
while.
25 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he was with Terry Hatcher, now that would have been a different story.
That's right. But Dean Kamen is also of Beverly Hills
I know, man.
90210 fame.
Huh?
Yeah.
So, yeah. They didn't have any Power Rangers? Come
They
on.
had some Power Ranger, yeah.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
They
But again,
have.
I don't know who any of those people
I
are.
don't
So it's
either.
like Jason
I don't
Font,
care.
he was a red Power Ranger at some time. I have no idea why.
I've never been into that property. Never.
No.
Not even have had the urge to try it.
We're both too old. By the time it came
Well, I
out, we
don't
were
know if it's
8.
too old. I'll dip my toe into like Transformers and G.I. Joe, and I was too old for that. At least I felt I was.
Yeah.
I don't have any of the toys or anything. I didn't watch the animated show, and I'm still getting G.I. Joe from IDW, and
Yeah, I am too.
I just started the new ongoing Transformer. I like it, by the way.
Yeah, me too. I picked it up too.
I don't I it's like a great starting point for somebody like me that just dips their toe in, 'cause it's like starting right before Cybertron goes to pot, I guess.
Yeah,
So
I never
I'm interested in the politics of it, and like,
I think it's really well done so far.
yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's
Yeah, I
good.
haven't really got much Transformers since the original Marvel series, so I figured
Yeah,
try this one.
the only ones I have from the original series are 1 through 4.
That's it?
Yeah, because it was originally supposed to be a
A
mini
mini.
series,
Yep.
and I was like, oh, I'll drop off. I've never been like a robot guy, like, because they don't. I don't know. They just never. Like, I like more like androids and. I've never been appealed to a robot that can shift itself into something. I don't
Yeah,
know. I just
yeah.
I like the movies, but I think if you're a fan of the comics and the toys, you might not like the movies, but I enjoy the movies. They're blockbuster eye candy.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Yeah. And I really liked Bumblebee.
I thought that was really good. Yeah.
I don't know why. I think it's because they made it more humane, like more, it was more grounded in like an 80s pop culture world, I don't know, it's like.
I totally agree, and I also appreciate, just as a kid that had Transformers back in the 80s, that they really did, that they really were true to a lot of the designs of the coloring and stuff of the robots this
Yeah.
time around, as opposed to the other ones. This one was very, very close to like the old, colors and stuff of the cartoon.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, it was good.
So you want to tell us some of your pickups?
So it was a good time. I was more interested, as always, with the artists that were there. And there was a, d decent, I mean, there's a handful of artists. Francis Manapul was there, Joe Jusko,
I
Marcus
like Joe
Toe.
Jusko a lot.
Yeah, he's got some good. I love like
He
his old
doesn't
car.
do
Didn't he do
commissions,
cards?
does he?
He was doing commissions there, but I already had my money set aside, so I
I bet
didn't.
he's expensive.
I
He's
think it was
quite.
like th I think it was like 300 for a bust.
Yeah,
It's
just for
just,
a head. Yeah,
yeah, that
he's
was a lot.
I don't know, it seems like he puts a lot of work into it.
But Megan Hetrick was there. I got a commission from her of Mary Marvel.
Yeah.
It's funny that you had gotten the Mary Marvel because I had contacted Megan just before you announced that you also had you got a commission of Mary Marvel. I'm like,
Yeah.
Ian, you were on the same wavelength.
Well, I hadn't planned on mine. It just
Yeah.
it was like Sunday and Peepoy was like, "You didn't get my commission." And I'm like, "Well, it's Sunday, I didn't think you would." He's hard to get a hold of during the rest of 'cause he tries to get jobs and gigs during that, so he's hardly ever at his table.
Yeah.
And he said, "I'll do one, and if you don't do it, I'll mail it to you." And I'm like, "Okay, I'll do it." And then I
Yeah.
ended up spending more on art than I ever
Did you
planned on.
really? I
Yeah,
would
'cause
love to get one of
I
his
got that
commissions
Dick
sometime.
Tracy spirit cover.
Oh my God, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Couple of other ones that were there just real quick. Graham Nolan is there every single con.
That's because he's
Because
probably local.
he lives around here, yes.
Yeah.
So I still have never gotten a commission from him because I never feel like it's urgent because he's always going to be there. But he's very expensive, actually. He's another one that's like 300 bucks.
Yeah. They've essentially costed me out of commissions. Like I'm not gonna this is just me, and I know some people love commissions, but I used to. Right now they stress me out more than they're worth because I don't know if they're gonna finish or they're gonna rush it, give me a rush job. 300's a lot, and you could almost buy like a key or two keys
Oh, sure.
in that range. Not like a real key, but you could get some pretty good books for 300 bucks.
Oh,
And
absolutely.
I'd rather I for me personally, I'd rather have that because my art just goes into a portfolio and then I open it up like once a year. So
And look
I'm
through it.
like, yeah, I it's
I want to get some frames for a couple of the things that I have. I have some up on my wall, but I want to get a
yeah.
couple like the Megan one I want to put up because I really like that.
It was a
But
lot more exciting when things were like $40 and $60 when I first started.
well, do you know Dean Kott?
Yes.
Okay, so he was there. And I like his he's got definitely has a different style. I like his style.
Yeah.
And I walked by, he was doing full body commissions for $60.
And that's the way I think it should be.
So I got that's where I got the Captain Marvel one in my little in my sketchbook. So I got he did that.
I mean for you too, it's less risk because you don't know what you're getting. Do you know what I mean? So like if you don't, I mean you might not be real fond of it and you're like, "Okay, I have 60 bucks." But if you did 300 bucks and you're not fond of it, that's a big deal.
It is.
Yeah.
I got a commission from, I don't know that I want to say it here, but I'll tell you later.
Yeah.
I got a pre-commission from one of our local cons a few years ago from a very well-known artist.
Yeah.
And like he did it ahead of time, you know,
Yeah.
a couple $100. He sent me the picture ahead of time. It was jacked up. It was bad. I actually asked him to fix one thing that was wrong. He basically just used like a cheap whiteout, and I mean it bad. I would never ever get a commission from this person
Yeah.
again.
See,
I'll
that's why I
tell
always
you this
go to the
later.
I don't even explore anymore. Like if I do, it'll be somebody that I don't even never heard of. Because they usually are cheap, and if you like their style, that's good. But I usually stick to Andrew Peepoy, Tom Scholey, and God, I can't remember. Shannon Gallant, thank you. Shannon Gallant and Drew Moss. That's pretty much it. I don't I don't go out of that. I don't even. Oh, and if Ramona Fraiden is there, then I'll buy one of her pre-drawn pieces, like
Oh, cool.
guaranteed.
I just chatted you, just to let you know what I'm
Yeah.
talking about. Yeah.
I like him though.
I do too.
He's
But
pretty
not.
fascinating. As a matter of fact, his covers
They're fantastic.
the lately have been
I mean,
can you at least say what character it was?
it was Stargirl. Yeah. The staff was
I find it
totally
weird.
like he made up like how the staff actually looks.
Yeah. Well, you drew a Stargirl.
I did.
I see some J. Scott Campbell in your art.
My Stargirl was only a little bit worse than the version that I got at that con that year.
Wow.
Know, I just took that picture, that screenshot from my phone, and I started drawing it, try to duplicate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so I got a but
So
I got a
Stargirl is one of your favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked her, but I liked then the legacy that they did at the end of Starman, the
Yeah.
comic. Yeah.
I liked her, but she was like, I don't know. I like the fact that Stripesy is her like stepdad. Like I sort of dig that. And I liked her in JSA, but nothing like Starman, like Jack.
Yeah.
So
Well, she has a
it
bit of
was like
as
a step sort of down for me, you know?
Oh,
And she really didn't have the staff until later when Jack said, "Screw this noise." He never wanted it anyway. I mean,
No.
he took it, but like, you know, his brother wanted that, but he gets killed in the first issue or second issue.
No, right away. It's like almost
Yeah.
one of the opening panels he gets killed. You're right. Yeah. But no, I liked yeah, I mean I agree. I liked her a lot in JSA. She kind of I felt like became like kind of like the heart of the new group the you know the newer heroes
Yeah.
in JSA where you know they had a lot of the mentors as well of course, but yeah, so I got a few comics. I got a couple Golden Age books. I got a Marvel Family comic.
Yeah.
I got well, I got
I love those covers. Like I could shop in Marvel Family all day.
yeah, it was and nothing was too pricey. I finally got a Police Comics. I've been wanting to get a Police
Yeah.
Comics, one
It's
of
got a
those.
human bomb in there too.
I didn't know that until I was
Yeah, I
reading.
didn't either
Really
because
cool.
usually those were in the early ones where they would have the circles and it would say, okay, here's our main feature, and then you have Phantom Lady and the Human Bomb and some other characters and Plastic Man, but you don't usually, I don't remember him ever being in one that was dominated by Plastic Man, you know? They
Yeah,
didn't
yeah.
have, yeah.
I didn't know what to expect, but Plastic Man had the first story, and then they had like three other stories, good side stories in there that were all different, different heroes. So Plastic Man had the lead feature, but that was it, and everything else was other heroes. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got a later issue of Boy Comics that was in their half price area. Superworld was there, and so it was only like 17.50 or something like that. So I'm like, oh, this is an old book, something that I usually don't dip my toe into, so I wanted
Yeah.
to try that. But then a lot of the other ones I got, I filled a bunch of holes in Detective Comics, and I got a couple of Flash that I was still missing, and one more. I was really looking to come, maybe not complete, but get a decent amount of missing Captain Americas that I still needed, but I could have picked a lot more up, but grade versus price I didn't think was reasonable for most of them, but
Yeah.
I did pick up one Captain America, so I think I only need either four or five more issues, and then I'll have the whole Captain America run.
Yeah. I'm close on that one, but I'm switching more for opportunities. Like, it just, if I could get a run of something, then I'm focusing on that rather than getting one or two issues here and there.
Yeah. You know, you got to tell me, you didn't answer me on Twitter. You got to tell me what X-Men comic book or comic books you picked up.
They're mostly issues like 100 and up. Like 100,
oh, that's cool.
101, 102. They're early Claremont, right? One of them's like, yeah, it's $600 worth of X-Men, so that's quite a bit. But they're keys, like First Kitty Pride, you know, first. there's a lot of a key characters that are first appearances of characters, and they're really good shape. So
it's amazing when you get into that era. Really, I mean, it goes for quite some time. But
yeah.
When you get, you know, everyone knows about X-Men 94 and stuff. But when you get like from 100 all the way through like 160.
Yeah,
you just have like first appearance after first appearance after first appearance.
Yeah,
and it's just crazy how many keys are in there.
Very happy to get, because I only own it in a coverless, pages missing form. Is the Death of Thunderbird?
Which one's that? 95?
Yeah, I think so.
Uh huh. Yeah.
I just had. I found that one at a dump. That's the one my dad used to take me to, and that was one that was there. And I always liked that one because of the death and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Count Nefaria, and I don't know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I don't have a list right with me, because I don't have them yet. I just made them from Aaron. But if you go to his site, he's selling dupes of a lot of the books.
Oh, my God. I noticed that he had quite a few of those X-Men range. So you claimed those, huh? I didn't notice if anyone had.
Yeah, he had the first appearance of Phoenix for like $300 bucks, and that's reasonable. But I didn't get it. Like it went right. It went immediately. As
oh my
as
God!
He posted it.
Is that why is it? Is that just expensive now because of movies? I don't remember ever being that pricey.
Probably because of the next movie focuses on her. I don't know.
Wow. I mean, I don't think I spent more than...
It's gone up quite a bit, like if you go to eBay, because Aaron's usually under eBay price.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's occasionally when I'll see something that interests me in Aaron, and then I actually shop around first. Like, I say, is this a good price? And I think, like, 80, 90% of the time, I can't find anything cheaper. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
But there is a couple of them that I've seen. Like, he's posted a Razor that I was interested. He's posted there was a Red Sonja book that I didn't have that was just a one shot. Mm-hmm. And I got that from my comic shop for like $7 cheaper. So, I mean, it's occasionally I'll run into cases like that, but it's very rare.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I'm looking at this on eBay. It has gone up. I mean, I don't think I spent more than $60 when I bought it, but I mean, keep in mind that's probably like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's a long time ago. But yeah, wow. It must be because of the movie.
Yeah, and then I completed a lot of Conans, and I almost have a full run of Cull. And what else is going on? I completed The Pit, which is Image. Mm-hmm. I almost completed Gen 13. I have like three left. Almost completed Supreme, all volumes. I only have a handful left.
Have you read a lot of Supreme or no?
Just the early issues.
Yeah.
And then I
was
just wondering how
it is.
An Alan Moore trade a long time ago, which I think collected a lot of his work that he did in the later issues of Supreme.
I was just curious because I only have issue number one. That's the only one that I've ever purchased. I was wondering if it's worth reading.
Yeah, I completed Union, who's another Image character who had a couple volumes. I bought some Dark Horse speculation books because they're going Netflix-y. They got at least an exclusive to have first dibs on Dark Horse properties, so...
Oh, wow.
I just took a stab at properties that I was interested in, and they were dirt cheap, so I was like, yeah, I'll try that. It looks sounds interesting. Yeah,
Wow.
I almost completed my magazine Hulk, Rampaging Hulk. I only have like the last three issues.
Oh, that's nice.
And I'm really close to completing it. It turns into the Hulk, which magazine, which is, as soon as it switches to Hulk, it's color. So it's like black and white, and then it goes color. I got Howard the Duck 1 through 3 magazine. I have the comics already, so I started the magazine. I got all the Umbrella Academies.
Oh, hey, Mike, Allie and Zach want to say hi to you. They just, they're not going to come on the microphone, but they just said hi to you.
Oh, hi.
He says hi. they're leaving. They're going to the playground.
Oh, okay.
Sounds yeah, so like you got fun. The Umbrella. You got the Umbrella Academy, the first series.
All of them.
Wow! Look
yeah,
at you.
Everything. Yeah.
I we love just the, watched the first TV two episodes.
I just saw the TV show and I just like fell in love with it. It was one of those ones. It was like the end of the fucking world. Like I watched the first episode and I was like, I don't know if I want to see it. And then I started seeing the build up, and it just, it was exactly like the end of the fucking world.
Well, don't give anything away.
Yeah. As soon as it started, I was like, I don't know if I want to watch it. And then I just stuck with it. And it's like, it was a build up of like, I loved it. So I was like, why didn't I never read Umbrella Academy? I don't know. But
me and Stacey watched the,
they weren't cheap, but, I figured.
Yeah, I'm looking at that.
Yeah.
The yeah, that first
Apocalypse
one.
Suite and the Free Comic Book Day one. I may
what,
have.
What
two
is the
of
Free
those.
Comic Book Day one called? I'm trying to search for that.
That's the first appearance. That is.
What is the actual name of it? I can't find it.
That son of a gun is harder than hell to find. It's oh, spell out the word Free Comic Book Day. The whole right. word. And you'll see it.
Right. But the first we
it's
watched the
comic
first two
book
episodes.
Day Dark
it's
Horse or something
got
like
it.
That.
I got it.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Oh, it only gets better.
Really?
Yeah.
It's good. I mean, I have to say the first one hooked both me and Stacey right away the first episode.
Yeah.
Oh, this is pretty cool. Wow, this is weird. So the Free Comic Book Day one doesn't seem to be worth nearly as much, even though it's the first appearance.
Well, our database does. It's not worth as much, but if you go look elsewhere,
it is.
It's worth more. Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't update since the TV show has come out. I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably not. Yeah, I've been impressed with the show so far. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Have you read it, Umbrella
yeah.
Academy?
Yeah. Yeah, I read it. I read it as it was coming. Yeah. It just sounded something interesting, and I think
so
my wife.
Do you have them?
Yeah, I have them.
All of them? All
yeah.
three? Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't really like this new one that's just about over. I think there's one issue left.
No, I think it finished.
Yeah, maybe it did. I haven't cared for it, but it's been so long in between series that I couldn't really remember who's even who. Like, they threw you right into it without, like, reintroducing anybody.
Yeah.
So I couldn't remember what any of the characters
named. Well, you got Diego, Luther.
No, now I remember from reading or from watching the
TV
show. I should have watched the show first and then read this series.
I really like acting-wise, the guy who plays the drug addict one.
Yeah.
The one that can bring back the dead. Yeah. I think he was, like, exceptional. Like, In the TV show.
Yeah, it's pretty. He's,
Ellen
he's,
Page was good, too.
Oh, yeah.
There was actually just one simple line in there that brought a tear to my eye that between her and her sister. Rumor, yeah. They don't really have – I don't remember any of their nicknames because they call each other by the first name.
Yeah, I think that's more the comic book. Side.
Like, I even remember Ben. He's the Cthulhu chest creature.
Yeah.
I was like... but, yeah, it was pretty fascinating. Like, I knew I had to start to get them.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so I'm still waiting for the second series to arrive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but other than that, I have all of them in hand. I might have two copies of the Free Comic Book Day one. If I do, I have like a box of Free Comic Book Day in that closet that I told you about that I haven't inventoried.
Yeah.
I did even like F up because I was after the Supremes, like all of them. And I didn't realize I had Supreme Blue Rose because it's up in the closet. So I have two copies of it now.
You gotta get in that closet somehow.
Yeah, I just don't have time.
I don't know. There's always other things that you can
And it
and
wouldn't
would like
take
to
me
be
too
doing.
long because I would just have to like take the box out, inventory it, and then most of those are barcoded books. So I could just scan them in. I just gotta find the time to do
I know. When you retire.
it.
Gonna
So
be
what?
so jealous of you and Bill when you guys are finally retired and you're doing your podcast, because
Yeah.
I'll still have many years left to go with these little kids that I've got.
Well, I don't think Bill will retire as early. He's got kids too,
Yeah,
so.
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I will, but I don't know when. It all depends. I just don't want to die working. That's the important thing. I want to have at least a decade of good of good years. What I mean is I can do stuff and before everything starts falling apart.
Absolutely. And honestly, hearing you guys talk somewhere, I get done and turn off the podcast. I start thinking, I start depressing myself. I'm like, oh my God, how like this whole system is messed up. You work and you work and you work, and if you're lucky, you can actually retire, when you're still healthy
Yeah.
for a decent amount of time before you just end up
Yeah.
dying.
But at the minimum, I would like to switch jobs and go, I mean, the worst case, switch jobs and go half time doing
Yeah.
something. I don't
Yeah.
know what that something is yet, but
You work in a comic book
at
shop.
least have some source of income that can support an HSA card or something, healthcare spending account.
Yeah, exactly.
'Cause you deplete that. Like, I don't know if you're still in a world where you have insurance that's real, like an HMO or a PSO, but that means you have a copay. But
Yeah.
once you get into the world of high deductible healthcare insurance, it sucks. 'Cause
Yeah, it does.
it feels like they're not giving you anything. You go for an MRI, it's out of your pocket. You do this, it's out of your
Is that
pocket.
what you have right now, or?
Yeah, until you hit a
Yeah.
certain max,
Gotcha.
you hit
Yeah.
a certain percentage, like 3 grand, and then they start paying like 70%, and then you hit another max, and then they'll pay 100%. But you still have to hit like a reasonable amount, you know?
Right, yeah. Ours is pretty good right now, where it's like you have to pay into the healthcare itself yearly, but
Well, yeah, we do too,
yeah,
but.
but the it's all co-pays. But they announced actually that this past year was the last year that new people could go into this plan,
Yeah.
and so
Yeah, a lot of
that's telling me
companies
that.
are going to this high deductible, and it's all about cost savings for the company
Oh,
because
absolutely.
the company realizes they can hit that the average employee will not be this amount of sick.
Right.
Well, that average employee, that's why they have that deductible. You hit this threshold, and then will start helping you.
Right.
So they know that they're gonna make a lot more money and not have to pay for it because of that. It just sucks because I
It
don't know,
does.
healthcare is some bullshit. It's
It is.
the one unknown thing, and our country's not getting any better. It's getting worse.
And I don't care. I don't want to start bringing politics into this, but there is no way that in a country as wealthy as ours that anyone should be struggling to pay their to be healthy, basically, to basically that you have to have money in order to make sure that you're healthy.
It is my like, I'm not going to get into politics, but it's my number one reason for voting way I vote. Healthcare is like one of the primary drivers.
Yeah.
If cause there's one party that doesn't give a fuck. They're like, you're on your own unless you're in the upper tier. They don't care.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, I'm more into, like, everybody should. I don't care who you are. You should have the right to live.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to worry about that you're going to lose your house because you don't want to die.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, me and Bill talk about it a lot because, I don't know, pretty soon we're going to be getting the senior discounts.
You're not that old. Well, when are you going to be 50? This year, next year?
This year. You get an AARP card at 50.
Oh, do you?
Which means you can get restaurant discounts if you show your AARP card.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So okay. I'm more already years. Old. I mean, every year old doesn't seem like the same old as when I was a kid. When you were 30, you were old.
That's right.
Your 20s, you still weren't old, but you hit 30, you were old. And then and then as you go older, you're like, oh, that's 40, now it's 50.
Because you realize that you don't feel any different, like mentally.
Yeah, mentally, you know what I mean? Is the key part.
Yeah, I know.
Physically is a different story.
You know you're getting old when you go to the doctor.
Yesterday I did yard work for the first time this year, and I almost died. Not while I was doing it, I was fine.
Today?
But today I'm hurting. Yeah, today. Mm-hmm. I'm the aftermath of bending and lifting, and I'm like, holy crap.
Oh, it's fun times.
Yeah.
But what can you do? There's only one alternative to getting old. and I don't want to do that, so I guess I'll get old.
Yeah. All right, so what have you been reading or watching?
Well, I'm gonna I'll start off just with a couple of the books that I got at the con, and the first one I wanted to talk about was, and just briefly, but our Army at War, number 220. And this is another one that Superworld had in there, actually at half price. I'm like, I can't remember what the price was, but I'm like, oh my God. Like, I just have seen this cover a lot. So this is the cover where, like, half of Rock is as a soldier, and it has, like, a background scene of World War II, and then the other half, he's dressed as a caveman. It has a background scene of cavemen fighting dinosaurs. So the point of the main story with Easy Company and Sergeant Rock is that his company, you know, kind of indicate that that, you know, that they have it worse in terms of the war than anyone's had it before. So he starts telling stories throughout the adventure of just comparing today today for him in World War II fighting to, like, cavemen having to, you know, fight off mastodons or kill mastodons for food with just nothing but spears. And, you know, he goes on from one thing to the other. So obviously nowadays we know that dinosaurs weren't around with cavemen, but,
you said,
I mean,
220, right?
220. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, that's what the whole story is they're actually, they're trying to advance a particular position here, to get to an objective. And as they get to each point along the way, he's kind of comparing, like, you know, somebody asks him, oh, you know, what do you think our odds are? They got, you know, better firepower. And he's like, you know, I don't know how our odds are, but, you know, here's some odds, you know, back in the, in the old days, you know, these keep thinking about cavemen and, you know, here they are, you know, with nothing to protect themselves and fighting off T-Rexes and stuff like that. So that was basically the whole story for the main plot. There was there's a backup called the Last Soldier.
That's Sam Glassman, isn't it?
The which one? The cover?
The backup.
Oh, this backup is Robert Kaniger. Here.
Oh, I thought you had a Sam Glassman story in there in the USS Stevens.
Oh yeah, that might be at the very end. Yeah, that's.
I love those so much, man.
Yeah. So. Well,
that's that Kickstarter guy that keeps screwing me. He does reprints of the Sam Glassman stuff.
Well, maybe we should order him in previews.
I am, because he's conditioned me, man.
You know what? And you mentioned it, and then I started to see it, and I get so irate. I get these emails from him promoting all of his other, like, everything that's going to be released.
And it's all the thing that pisses me off is it's all good stuff. Like, I want the stuff that he puts out. I want.
But he's
aggravated me so much.
Yeah.
And the emails piss me off even more because he hasn't even finished doing one thing and he's doing seven other things. And he just keeps piling on the turd.
I unsubscribe to his emails. I'm like, I can't look at these because he'll promote
all this
stuff.
They make you angry, don't they?
Yes. They make me very angry.
His emails made me remember how much he owes me.
Yeah.
And it just pisses me off.
And you know, he's so quick to send out all these promos for these things, but then you ask in the Q&A, you know, on Kickstarter, well, when is this coming out? And he's just dead silent.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what drives me crazy. I've written him a couple times. He says, well, if you send me extra posts, I'm like, screw you, man. And then and then he writes these long-ass emails about his health and housing conditions, and I'm like, well, why the fuck are you living off of our Kickstarter money and spending all that money before you ship our books?
Well, here's the thing. If all of that is true, and let's say that it is, well, why is he simultaneously launching one Kickstarter after the other without fulfilling anything if he's in such dire straits? Why does he just do the one? Because it sounds like he's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
And then once that's out and ready to go, then he can launch his next one. But he doesn't. He launches eight at a time.
Yeah.
Or, you know, in a row.
And then he solicits the same book you're getting in previews.
Yeah.
So you're like, well, I can wait a month. I don't care. Mm-hmm. And by the time you get it, the previews guy's already gotten it before you. So
and you could have gotten it for 30 to 50%.
And that's after you've pestered him. Like, it's not like he's proactively sending you these stuff. That's after you're bugging the crap out of him for it.
I know. It's very irritating. I only did that one because I was late to it. And then I started to hear from you and from a bunch of other people.
Well, I'm not shy. His name is Drew Ford.
Yeah.
And his publication is It's Alive. Just be warned. If you're willing to wait past the previews, guys, then you can get a Kickstarter. That's my Kickstarter pet peeve. You really want to piss me off? You give somebody like a comic store your book before the Kickstarter people get it. You will piss me off.
What's the incentive to kickstarting any of this stuff at this point?
Kickstarter, you should get it way before.
That's right.
At least a year before, like Palmiotti and Gray, they do it right. They do it right. That's why I keep supporting them.
And it's because of what you had said about that I saw that they did that Painkiller Jane. I'm like, all right, I'm going to back this because I hear from you that it's always done very, very well. Yeah. So I know I'm not going to get screwed over on it, you know?
Well, that happened to a friend of mine, the artist for Captain Atom. I'm losing it right now.
Pat Broderick?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
He had a Kickstarter. I didn't support it. But I bought his Kickstarter books at a con, and then I posted them, and then a friend of mine said, holy hell, you got those books before I did. And he hasn't even gotten his yet.
Oh,
So
gee.
that's the stuff that just makes me mad. And some of the people are professionals. Like, it happened with Molly Danger, too. It released way early at the stores and stuff before I even got my copy. And I had to, like, reach out to get mine.
This is the first one, the Molly Danger, I guess, because the second one has still not come out.
Oh, I have it. I bought it at the comic shop.
This no
No,
no this the on the
I'm
oh
just
my God, you're messing with me.
kidding.
Okay, this it successfully funded the Molly Danger ongoing series July 20th, 2015. I was a backer. Jamal Engel, right?
Yeah.
He's involved in everything under the sun, but I mean, and obviously he can do whatever he wants, but it's like, what's the progress of
I
this?
thought he only had one Molly Danger
That's all that
hardcover.
he has. This is the new but the second he did another Kickstarter for an ongoing series that hasn't
Oh, that
released.
hasn't released.
It has not released. No. Now, to his credit, he has stepped up and said this, obviously he's got a lot of other projects that he's been doing, and like he's been on
I
Earth
did
and,
not accept that.
but the only credit that I'll give him is he said if anyone, because of the weight, wants their money back, he'll give them their money back.
Oh, okay.
He
That's
funds.
legit. That is legit. If they
But I
tell
don't
you
want their money
that, if they
back. I
tell
just
you
want their
that
product.
I have another gig and I have to put food on the table and
Yeah.
you can get your money back if 'cause I didn't meet this commitment, then that's fair to me.
Yeah, at least he's done that. I'm just excited. I just want to see the product. You know what I mean? That's more what it is for me, is I'm just I really like that first graphic novel.
So let's finish your Sergeant
Oh,
Rock.
yeah. So let's do it. All right. So the second story is called The Last Soldier. It's set in the future, and he's fighting off robots, basically, and he's the last. It looks like he's the last soldier still alive, fighting these things off. And he ends up encountering. He shoots one of the robots attacking him, and the head pops off. And he starts tinkering with it, and puts the head back on. And it's instead of attacking him. Which he thought it was, I don't know why he was fiddling with it, but he thought that it was going to shoot him back, but it stopped and actually kneeled at his side and started firing with him, and he got shot and was hit, and he just as he's dying, he just says it's nice not having to die alone, and says give me your hand, and the robot bends down and gives him his hand just as the robot gets blasted and they both fall dead together. So that was a little bit of a sad story, kind of a somber. And then the last one that you're talking about is the it's not a story so much as a it's a little a talk about the USS Stevens and how
Sam Glassman was on that ship. That's what makes it
oh, was he?
fascinating. Yes.
Oh,
That
wow.
is true stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's what I'm saying. That these are like real, actual like stories of different battles and stuff like that. So this is about the USS Stevens and fighting off kamikazes, and they were using Americans were using radio-manned winged rockets with explosive warheads to combat it, and it was just telling the story of all these kamikazes coming down, but they managed to use these rockets to fight off the kamikazes. So that was a pretty interesting story, like you said, and it's even more so knowing that these are that's a little bit of a history lesson in these comics. It's I agree with you. I like that when they add a little bit of history in there. You learn a little bit about these wars.
Yeah, I read Sam Glassman first in Joe Kubert Presents, which were reprints of these stories you're talking about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Joe Kubert Presents was like, it's an anthology before he died that ran from 2012 to 2013, and it had like new content, and then it had some old content.
Oh, okay.
And the older content was a lot of the USS Stevens stuff, and I was like, wow, this is awesome. So when those Kickstarters came on, I was like, Sam Glassman, like I want to know more, because you get these incredible stories of when he was on the ship, you know, around the time of Pearl Harbor and stuff.
Yep.
And it's pretty fascinating, like just listening, like how some of the people with degrees that would come on and be officers, they wouldn't really know what they were doing. Like there was yeah. this guy he called Captain Squishy, and he really didn't know what he was doing. And
that's a great.
It was weird too, because like the men sort of knew like who they would respect and who they wouldn't respect, and it's yeah. just I don't know, it's just fascinating storytelling. And then he pencils it and draws it, and he's pretty phenomenal. So
yeah, that's pretty cool.
I like the Sam Glassman stuff a lot.
Mm-hmm. Did you get that Venditti World War II Vertigo book?
The hardcover.
Yeah, you didn't read it yet, though, did you?
I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. It's a kind of a different different World War II story than what you really hear. It's like a group of people parachuted in error behind enemy lines, and kind of like what they were faced with in a small French town.
Yeah. So my first book is what drove me to read it was I haven't read it ever. All the books that I'm covering I haven't read. So these are all new to me. Kind of like I think most of the stuff you read are new to you, unless you're covering like Alpha Flight or something that you're rereading in a collected edition.
Exactly. Yep.
I've covered a lot of stuff that I've reread on this show, but Ronin is something that I've never read, and I don't even own it, to tell you the truth. It's Frank Miller's Ronin, and I bought the Dark Label trade paperback.
I've never read this either.
And the reason I wanted to read it, like, sometimes negative publicity is like positive publicity for me.
Yeah.
And me and Bill last year went to a panel. I think it was at Heroes Con. He's going to Heroes. I'm excited. Woo-woo.
I saw your thing. Like, that's cool.
That is new. Like, he was on the latest Geek Brunch, which was like 4.5 hours. He said, I'm thinking about it. So he just said he is going. So I am. He's booked his flight and everything. So that sort of makes my con, because it's like I'm with Bill pretty much 24/7. It's pretty awesome, because he stays in our room and everything.
Yeah.
But
puts his sleep machine on.
Yeah, puts his sleep machine on. That's right. His heartbeat. I always think of Edgar Allan Poe when he brings that thing in, the telltale heart. Yeah, just like bump bump. And then I got so pissed. I was like, got all this fucking noise. And then I walked into the room and I said, what are these? Why do you have earplugs? And he
puts earplugs. Doesn't mean he wants to listen to it.
Yeah. Who the hell buys a sleep machine and then puts earplugs in his ears? What the hell is that? That's just weird shit. But anyway, we went to a Jim Shooter panel, and it was an awesome panel. They had screwed him over. They didn't have his slide.
The same thing happened at ours last year. He was at Buffalo Con.
Yeah, the poor guy.
Visibly irritated.
Shooter gets irritated because, you know, I came prepared. Why can't you be prepared?
He's got the
editor type. He was editor in chief. You know, like he was a boss. So yes. It's like you do this to the boss and he's pissed. But it happens.
Like, well, they don't have any. I guess I'm not doing my slides, but that's okay. I can get through.
Yeah, and he's on his cane, and he's pissed. You could tell from his facial expression, his voice, how pissed he is.
Yes.
But he was able to adapt.
Yes, and he's not.
That's why he's
affect.
a leader. He's like, I can wing this thing, and I'm, and he did.
Yeah, and it doesn't
Eventually,
affect him talking to the group. Like
yeah.
he's still hot from doing that.
Yeah, eventually he got his projector thing working, and he could show visuals that went along with the discussion. But one of the things he talked a lot about Frank Miller, like his talent and stuff. And he's like, when he was on Daredevil, man, he was just hitting it. And then he went off on like he wanted to do his own thing. And I was like, are you sure you want to do this? And then he went and wanted to do Ronin. And I guess he had read Ronin, and he said, God dang, this is a hot mess. So Jim Shooter thought it was a hot mess. Frank has got a strong personality too. You know, like,
yeah,
they're alpha personalities. So Frank, being Frank, is like, I'll take this work elsewhere. So he took it to DC Comics, and DC Comics published it as a deluxe edition. And Frank still thought I was a hot mess. So I understand where, like, editorial, like why Jim Shooter would think this, because it is a very difficult read. Like, it started off really grounded. Like, okay, here's the Ronin times, the century past. There's this Lord Azaki, and he's the wielder of this blood sword. It's a mythical sword, kind of like katana sword. Like, it can take in souls, if you will. And this demon Agat is after that sword, and he has like a intern guy that protects him with his life. And this demon ends up killing, masking itself as a sexy woman, like, just, and ends up killing him when his sword is not near him. And the demon's name is Agat, and Agat kills him. And then the intern takes the blood sword, and then it just switches to the future. So now you're like in way past our future time, and you're in this Aquarius, bioengineered Aquarius complex, and there's this cybernetically living computer named Virgo. It goes very much Rye, like computer. Like, this is before Rye came out, but a computer that runs the whole system, and it's like Mother, you know, like in Rye. I see so much Ryan here, and there's this cybernetically enhanced kid that has all these attachments, and he basically absorbs the spirit of that intern that was trying to protect the blood sword from the demon, and now the demon is in that world. So I read the first two issues of it. I thought it was pretty. The first issue, I was like, what the hell just happened? 13 pages in, you know, I'm digging the story, and all of a sudden, it doesn't, like, transition well. And then you're, like, in this far future, and it takes, like, till the middle of the second issue where you realize what's going on. Like, okay, they move forward in the story many, many, many years ahead of time, and this conflict is still going on. So, yeah, it's a weird read, but man, I really got engrossed in it. So I'm glad I'm experiencing it. So I read Ronin 1 and 2, and I liked it.
Nice.
Yeah. So
how many issues
is
it?
6, but okay. they're each about 55 pages or 60 pages. It's a lot of content.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they're that deluxe format.
Yeah, so it's a little longer.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're enjoying it. It's something that I've obviously heard about. I've never read. Jim Shooter told a very similar story at the con last year that I was at, and basically, you know, from his point of view, said, yeah, this is an absolute mess.
And that's what drew me to it, because it's like, that's where negative publicity is. Because, you know, you know Frank Miller, and they're like, I want to read this hot mess. Like, I know some people might take it as a criticism, like, I don't want to read it if Jim Shooter doesn't like it. But it has the opposite. I have more of this, like, historian type philosophy. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be a comics historian. I want to know it all. I want to know the good. I want to know the bad. I want to know why it was bad. I want to know why something was good, why people liked it. I
Well,
want to
yeah, and then you can also make the
experience
decision yourself.
everything. Yeah, I want to experience everything. So that's what drew me to Ronin, and is like, oh, he says it's a hot mess. This is Frank Miller coming off
Yeah.
of Daredevil, you know, with
Yeah.
the hand and all these ninjas, and he's telling a samurai story. I want to read this.
Yeah, exactly.
And so far I've been really pleased because I can see, and I can't tell you if this is true or not, but I could see this affecting somebody to write Rye. Like I see so many like tangentials that amazed me. And this is before Rye. So
Yeah.
what year was this? This was 1983.
Okay.
So you're about a decade away.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jim Shooter was, well, it was involved in Rye.
Yeah.
So
That's why
maybe
maybe
he
he's
liked
like,
some of what he did,
yeah, maybe he's like, I like it in
changed it
concept,
up.
but the execution was horrible.
Right,
In
exactly.
other words, you could use those terms, I want to polish the turd.
Yeah.
But
That's right.
I really enjoyed it. I think it's pretty amazing.
That's cool.
Even with the incredible time shift and no explanation, it's jarring at first, but you keep reading out of curiosity and you see what's happening.
Yeah.
So I'm on issue 3 right now.
Very cool. Mike,
Yeah.
you gotta let me know how what you think when it's all over.
Well, it has to go into my collection because it's DC and it's before,
Yeah, it is.
after 1973, so.
So you gotta pick it up now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you can, I don't think they're too pricey, are they?
Nah, I think the deluxe editions are more pricey.
Yeah. All right, well, so the other one I'm gonna talk about from the con is I'm just gonna briefly go over the Police comics. It's been about a week since I've read it, so it's not very fresh in my mind. I'm gonna look through the pages to kind of remind myself what had happened. So this is Police Comics number, excuse me, 35, from 1944. So this is an oldie. I like reading a lot of these old. I like looking at the ads of these old comics too. I don't know about you, but
I love it.
it's fascinating to me sometimes. So this is the first story is a Plastic Man story. You know, a pretty standard one where Plastic Man actually he works with the FBI. If you didn't know that, he helps the FBI chief with criminals and so forth. So Woozy Winks was actually a stool pigeon at that point too, and would give Plastic Man some tips. So what Plastic Man is trying to do here is he's trying to get this guy called Froggy because he had picked him up and brought him to the FBI earlier, but he had a recording device when he was talking to Froggy to try to implicate him. And when he brought him in, the FBI chief told Plastic Man that the courts aren't recognizing dictaphone evidence and that all has to be written. And so they had to let him go, the bad guy. So for the rest of the story, Plastic Man is just him and Woozy are getting into hijinks and trying to pin something on this bad guy named Froggy. And there's this woman involved too, where they're actually trying to rob her house, and attractively drawn woman, and of course Plastic Man is falling for her and everything else. But it's really fun to see, like, back. I mean, when his first appearance was Police Comics number one, right? Like, so I mean, this is less than 3 years into his first appearance and just, you know, see all the different shapes that he takes and how he handles himself. And he really was, you know, that early on, he was pretty, he was very, very much developed into the character that you even, you know, saw later on when you or I were getting into comic books, you know, 30, 35 years later, which was, you know, very interesting. But, you know, obviously by the end, they end up being able to catch him, and they manage to throw him in jail. Then there's a second, is a shorter one. It's called Destiny, and Destiny seems to, it's this guy just in a suit and fedora, but he has like
a lot of guys that look like the Spirit during this
time. Yeah,
but Midnight, the Spirit, and
he has Destiny. A weird, like, almost like a supernatural power where if he senses that basically that somebody's going to be doing something very basically, well, I don't know if it's just murder or other things, but the one gangster, you know, says that anytime, you know, anyone tries to murder somebody, Destiny, you know, appears, but they have to be serious about it. So the head gangster decides he's going to really bump off one of his cronies because they have a plan to capture Destiny. So sure enough, Destiny's just walking down the street, and all of a sudden he gets the sensation that murder's about to strike, and he goes into this trance, and suddenly he's whisked away, like just like a poof, and he appears in front of this garage where the head gangster is about to shoot this guy, and he ends up saving him, but or he ends up not end up killing him because Destiny is there and they're ready for him and they tie him up. So they throw him in the garage, they turn on the car, close the garage door, and want to try to kill him from the what do you call it? The fumes from the, I can't remember what the name of the
carbon
the,
monoxide.
Yeah, the monoxide, yeah. So they said, okay, they're like, well, we took care of him. And then in the other room, the head gangster still says, listen, I told you that nobody could pretend with Destiny. We really have to kill you. So they're still going to kill this gangster. And is about to pull the trigger. The stupid head gangster doesn't realize that's going to summon Destiny again, which magically makes him appear in the room, thereby saving his life from the garage with the carbon monoxide fumes. And he ends up beating the guy and throwing him in jail. So that was kind of a silly one. The next story is called Flatfoot Burns, and it's drawn in a very, very cartoon style, like a comic strip.
Yeah.
And this is basically, he's just this this funny little inspector that goes around and tries to help the police. And this he's trying to capture this this robber named Clever Klaus, and it's only a few pages long, but it was fun. It's an amusing little 3 or 4 page story that's drawn. You know, I mean, like actually, to be honest with you, like Flatfoot Burns, like if he almost looks like Elmer Fudd, very very similar. He's just wearing like more of a like a plaid a plaid jacket and one of those like inspector hats like Sherlock Holmes wears, mm-hmm. instead of like the hunting jacket and hat that Elmer Fudd wears. But other I mean, they look very, very, very similar. The next story is more of a regular size story by starring Manhunter. And this is I believe this is still the Manhunter. I thought I saw the name on here. I couldn't remember if this is the same Manhunter. Now I'm thinking that it's not.
I don't think it is.
No, I don't think it's the same guy. It's definitely not the same costume. He's just wearing all blue with a blue mask. So in this story, he's basically taking down some crooks that are trying to illegally poach some animals. And then the last story, actually it's not the last one, sorry. The second to last story is the human bomb.
Yes.
So that one was a lot of fun. And like we were talking about earlier, it was a surprise to see another character that I'm, you know, familiar with these days from the Freedom Fighters in a backup here. And so that was a lot of fun. I'm not really remembering a lot about that story. And then the last one was just a really short little story. I don't know if it's a reprint from something else or whatever, but it's a short spirit story by Will Eisner. Probably only about, looks like about 6 pages. So all in all, this was a lot of fun. All of them, or just, or the spirit story?
Well, no, all of them.
Yeah, all of them. I really enjoy reading some of these older stories. I mean, it's you say this a lot, and it's 100% true. You have to shift your mind to the time frame that the comic book, came out. Yeah. If you're going to be reading a comic book from 1944, don't, you know, sit there and start, you know, dig in thinking that you're going to read either a modern comic book or like
put
a dark
mind frame
dark
like
night.
You're a kid right before World War II.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like you just got to do it.
And it's so much fun to do that. And yeah. then, and that's actually why I like reading some of this stuff like in print rather than, you know, like if you could, I mean, not that you could necessarily get this one digitally, but like
an
old
one. You
can
get a lot. I don't know if you know about this, but there's a publisher on Amazon. They're like Gwendolyn Publishing or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So I learned about them. They're reprinting a lot of Marvel Family and Plastic Man and Police Comics.
Oh, wow.
And they're doing it. They're not doing, like, the repro process. They're actually doing it by Xeroxing actual comics. And they can do it because the stories are public domain. The characters are not public domain, but they can do it.
Wow. So, I had no idea that was...
Yeah, so I actually went and bought... You know how DC pulled the trigger on the Monster Man?
Uh-huh.
They decided not to do it. Yep. I got the Monster Man from them, so I could.
You're
read
kidding
it.
Me! Oh, yeah. I gotta look that up.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna look that up while we're talking, because I've been wanting to read that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I understand why they pulled it though.
Why?
Well, it's very racy, man.
Racist?
Yeah, Yeah, both. No, but racist. Mostly racism.
What is it called? What is it called? So I can search for it.
I think if you search for Shazam and the Monster Man, you'll see it.
Okay.
It's missing like one issue because they couldn't get it, but other than that, it's a complete story.
I see it here. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. What I was going to say is just to read it in print is I think it helps get you in that frame of mind.
Yeah.
Again, because of... Like, you're actually reading this old comic book. You're seeing all these old ads and stuff. And it helps you get into that that kind of mindset. Like, this is what was going on at the time. Like, you know, war bonds or, like, these different ads for you know, things that are very, very, very retro. And it helps get you, like, right into the mindset of what comic books were back then, not that we were alive, yeah. You know?
I thought I had mine around here somewhere, but I can't find it.
I see
but,
it.
It's pretty fascinating if you look at it because it actually has like all the flaws of the paper back then. So you like get one issue where an issue was well kept, and then you'll get one that has oxidation and maybe some like tape in the middle.
Yeah.
So and you'll actually see it in the print. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But the story's all complete. And you can enjoy something that you can't get anymore. And you can find a lot. Like, if you search for Police Comics, too, you could find a lot. And I've done this with Mary Marvel and a couple other things. Things that I know I can't read. I mean, there are places to go read them, like the public domain sites. Mm-hmm. There are Golden Age archivist places, but I don't want to read them digitally, so this gives me an opportunity to read them and get them in a legit format, you
Oh
know?
yeah, for sure.
Something that, and they are a little larger than the comic book, so it's a little blown up, which I sort of like. But they're not like doing like DC does in the archive and just cleaning it up and remastering it.
Right.
It,
It's like they like
it's
if they
literally
had the
legit,
comic, they're making a copy of it.
yeah.
Interesting. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's a way to read stuff that like police comics, and if you don't want to spend a couple $100 on an issue,
Right, exactly.
you can actually read some Plastic Man and some Shazam just to see what it's like.
Now, what did you say that this is? It's missing an issue?
I think it's missing one issue.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. Maybe couldn't find it, or whatever reason. But it's these things are a way to get those stories, and there's a
Yeah.
lot of them. You can get like Hoppy the Shazam Bunny and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a good way to do it. You go to Amazon and just search for this stuff. The
That's
publisher
cool.
is like Gwendolyn, or I can't remember what they're called. But if you search for that name too, it'll bring up a whole bunch of different books.
Okay. Yeah, I found this one. I'm gonna go ahead and put it on my list.
Yeah, I got a Mary Marvel one that reprints a lot of her WoW comics before she was in her own, and I was like, I have one of them actually that's in that run, and I was like, this is a. So I have one of those in my cart now too.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand the reluctance from a company's point of view to publish the stuff, but at the same time, I mean, we've talked about it many times before,
It's
but
history.
yeah, you can't pretend that stuff never happened.
Yeah, you can't pretend. And I'm going to talk about something that's pretty harsh today.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to glamorize it or make it sound like this is acceptable these days, but neither can you pretend that this stuff never existed and never happened, you know? All
True.
right,
So,
so that's all I got for that one.
I don't know if you're caught up on Geek Brunch lately, but me and Bill have been going down the old previews and Diamond Advanced Comics and finding a lot of like 90s stuff that we never got to experience. And
I'm a little behind, but so I'm not sure where I
yeah,
am, but yeah, go
so
ahead.
one of the things I had never experienced before was a comic book called Razor, and it was published by London Knight. And the publisher was actually the artist, and he did a lot of the art, and the creation himself was Everett Harso. And I picked up a couple issues from Reed. He sent me four issues. They weren't in any order, so I was like gonna read this across three different mini series and just try to get exposure to the character and see how it read. And I really found out that like I want to go down this rabbit hole. Like I want to read it. It's extremely violent. She's a woman named Nicole Simone Mitchell. She was the daughter of a gangster essentially, who owned the city's cops, and he wound up dead from another guy called Roman Von Drake. And I'm like, I've read across three series, and he is the main villain. Like, he's there all the time. And she's trying to find her long-lost sister. And her long-lost sister, I believe, is going to be a character called Strike. Like, she's another character, and she's working for Roman. I can't confirm or deny that because I don't have enough of the material to tell that. But I've kind of put it together based on these three minis that I've watched. Read. So I have number zero, which was a pretty good introduction. It's really violent and it has to do with sexual trafficking of children.
Oh
And
my God.
Razor's hunting down this guy that's doing it, and it is really violent. Like if you can't stomach violent, man, she like has these like claws that come out, and she like will gut a man. Like she'll just pull out all his insides, and you'll see the intestines come out. It's really real rendered. Like the art is very good, and it's got nudity, so if that's not for you, then there is nudity, but it's not like it's boundless nudity. It's more like, oh, she's in the shower now and she's naked.
That's
But
how I usually take my showers too.
yeah, you don't have clothes on in the
Like
shower.
that, no.
One thing I have noticed though is across these three mirrors is all black and white. Except when it got into the third mini, he started doing color, and I actually think the color like hindered the art. Like, it really you really lost like how fine the line was and
Is that because of the paper quality? Does it like
I
bleed
don't
the.
know. It got a little thicker, and I don't know. All I know is that the black and white looked more crisp, and I prefer it in black and white. Like it just looks better. It looks so what I'm gonna pursue is the first series for sure, and it ain't cheap. We're looking at like 20 to 30 bucks on some of these earlier issues. The zero issue I had is by far the cheapest, but once you get into like when the character started, it's quite expensive. And but I want to pursue it, and it did run. It has like 12 issues. And what it's known for, I mean, people might not know Rezar, or they might not know Strike, because he launched those, that as a separate title. But they might have heard of Shy. And
Oh
one
yeah.
of the Rezar issues is the first appearance of Shy. So,
Oh wow.
yeah, before Shy went to Crusade, it was at London Knight. So, yeah, I'm interested in the publisher, and I'm interested in reading these stories, because I was engrossed. And then there's like an issue where she's after this one drug addict, and I was pretty fascinated because she killed a lot of these dudes, man. She just like slaughtered them, and then they knock her over the head and they give her like drugs, like heroin or something, and then you don't know like for an issue if she's really killing these guys or if it's just a drug trip. Like it's insane. I liked it. So I read two issues of The Suffering, which is a mini series. I read the first one, which is just titled Razor, and I read one issue, I think it was issue two of The Burning. So it's there's a lot of Razor comics to read.
So these old previews are sending you down crazy rabbit holes.
Well, I'll tell you, to be honest, if we go back to the 90s, I was just into Marvel, DC, Image, and Valiant. I didn't pretty much go outside of that. I mean, there are some exceptions, but they're rare. And I missed out on a lot of content. And I now that I'm older, I want to experience that content. So I'm getting there. And I have another one that I'm going to talk about, which I had read before, but I hadn't. Now I want to complete the series, and the two that I'm going to talk about were not in the I didn't have.
Interesting.
Also violent. So everything I talked about was violent. Ronin, Razor, and the next one is extremely like violent horror.
Very cool. The other one, something else I wanted to discuss is I started rereading the Squadron Supreme
Oh,
last
that's a
week.
good one.
Yeah, I haven't read this, I don't think, since it originally came out. And when it originally came out, I mean, you're talking, what was it? I don't know, 86, maybe 84, somewhere
Yeah,
around
well,
there.
when it did come out, it was like mind blowing. Like it at the time, it
It
was like,
was.
yeah.
But and I think I had
Because
I was missing one issue at
it's
the
like the
time.
Justice League before for Marvel.
It is, and they make it a point too, which is true that like this type of like alternate take of another world where basically the heroes are kind of taking over, right? For the quote unquote betterment of of humanity. I mean, we see this years and years later in like Kingdom Come and a couple other ones, but this was kind of like the first time that somebody did this. And honestly, yeah, and look, I'm looking at my individual issues, and I'm missing, I never ended up getting issue 3. So I've never read the complete thing before, although I read all but one. But this is the first time since it was originally out that I've read this. So the premise of this is a whole separate world. Seems to have some like regular Marvel characters can cross over into this world, but doesn't really dwell on that and doesn't really explain it.
No, but it kind of talks about like where these characters appeared was originally Defenders.
Mm-hmm.
And they like launched
Nighthawk and stuff. And Wizard was
Avengers was another one too. Like you'll see Hyperion and a couple other characters mm-hmm. in Avengers and Defenders, but Nighthawk was like a regular. Kyle Richmond is a big character in this.
And the Wizard, I think, was in World War II, right, with the Invaders
yeah,
stuff, right?
Yeah, he was
right?
in the what do you call them? The All-Star Squad. They're not the All-Star Squadron. The Young Allies are one of those ones.
Yeah, yeah. So, but it doesn't sound like they're meant to be the same. Like, they're not the same individuals, even if they're the same characters.
Mm-hmm.
However, like, prior to this, the events in this book, they explain that the world basically has been almost ruined. Kyle Richmond, like you said, Nighthawk, he actually became president of the United States, and he wanted, obviously, he had big plans to make the world a very peaceful place. But the Overmind, which is a villain in the regular Marvel universe, doesn't explain how or what, but he somehow came to their world and basically took over all of their minds except for Hyperion, who he couldn't take over. And so for almost a full year, Overmind, through Squadron Supreme and through the fact that Kyle Richmond was the president of the United States, basically the whole planet was pretty not destroyed, but almost like a total dystopia. Hyperion finally managed to free the rest of the Squadron Supreme, and they beat back Overmind. And now this is where we kind of are at the beginning of this story, and why the world is kind of in ruins. They make a decision at the beginning of this series that the world is just falling apart. People can't get food, basic necessities they're having trouble with. And they said they're going to they have the power, the resources, and the knowledge to make the world a better place again. And so what they decide is that they're going to basically make decisions for the world. They're going to start with the United States, and then they're going to move on to the rest of the world. Kyle Richmond resigns as president. His replacement, they make sure, is on board with the Squadron Supreme. They take a vote with the Squadron Supreme to see if everyone's on the same page in terms of doing what they're doing. But Nighthawk does not agree with it. He feels like this is basically no different than what the Overmind did, in that they are basically taking away free will from people, because in order to implement their version of everything, they're going to get rid of all weapons, so nobody can have any weapons. They're going to do this, they're going to do that. Basically, they're going to take steps that, while it may create a utopia, it's going to take away free choice. So Nighthawk resigns. They part. Nighthawk has a lot of reservations and some anger towards it, but he's very good friends with Hyperion, and Hyperion still considers Nighthawk to be a very good friend although Nighthawk doesn't really want anything to do with him anymore. So it's not a situation where they're clashing at this point. He's just now away and apart from the rest of the team. And so they quickly start to implement different programs to get people food, to get farms up and running, to get roads cleared, so people can move about the country, and they're doing a lot of good. In the meantime, there's individual character moments that are very interesting. For instance, there's a character called Nuke, which is kind of like the Firestorm equivalent, and his, unbeknownst to him, his power had been increasing over time, and just him being around he's emitting radiation. And what he ends up learning is that the only people that he's around enough that he could possibly be affecting are his parents, who he finds out are both dying of cancer from radiation poisoning. And he tries to get Tom Thumb, who is a genius, to cure cancer. And Tom Thumb, not surprisingly, wasn't able to cure cancer in time. Nuke loses it and starts fighting everyone. Doc Spectrum is the Green Lantern equivalent, and he tries to stop Nuke from his destruction. And what he ends up doing is encasing Nuke in one of his power bubbles, but Nuke is trying to get out so badly that he ends up burning off all of the air out of his, where he is inside this power bubble. And it's opaque. It's not that Doc Spectrum can see it. And when he realizes that Nuke's not struggling, he releases him, and Nuke has died. So this devastates Doc Spectrum. Some other things happen. We have the Green Arrow and Black Canary equivalents in the Golden Archer and Lady Lark. And just like on the DC side, they've been on and off for years. And due to a close call, Golden Archer was almost got killed. And he realizes he's kind of been wasting his time and has decided to propose to Lady Lark, just as Lady Lark is starting to become attracted to Blue Eagle, who is the Hawkman equivalent. So she says no, she doesn't want to marry Golden Archer. In the meantime, Tom Thumb has invented a behavior modification machine that they're going to take from prison to prison to have prisoners voluntarily get their behavior changed, and then they get a full pardon. Some of the team is a little hesitant about that, particularly the Aquaman character, who is called Amphibian, but he goes along with the team because he's outvoted. And so they go from prison to prison, and they basically they're not mind-wiping people. They still have full memory. They're just changing their behavior that now they want to be good. They want to do good things, and they can't believe they ever didn't want to do that. So Golden Archer starts asking questions of Tom Thumb about it, and he ends up knocking Lady Lark out in the middle of the night, puts her in that modification machine, and basically causes her to be madly in love with him. So then the next morning she wakes up and she can't believe that she told him no the night before and is madly in love with him and wants to get married, and so on and so forth. And so this ends up coming back to bite him a few issues later, because Lady Lark and Blue Eagle had discussed the fact that she really wasn't in love with Golden Archer anymore. And he ends up, Blue Eagle ends up accusing Golden Archer of modifying her behavior. And he admits to it because he ends up feeling very guilty about it. And just one of the last issues that I read, he's expelled from the Squadron Supreme. So as they're doing all of this, there's a lot of stuff going on, character by character, which makes this a very interesting story.
It's a lot of political intrigue too.
Yeah, there's a lot of big ideas going on in terms of you know, what's right and what's wrong? Is it right for a small group of people to make these types of decisions for humanity at large, even if, I mean, I don't think there's any argument that they're making the world better, but is that the right thing to do? In terms of making people not have a choice one way or the other. So there's a lot of that. It's very interesting. And while he's playing, and I should say this is Mark Gruenwald, he had actually said that he thought this was the best story that he ever wrote. So it's very interesting that he's doing these big ideas and also doing this character development as well. Like, you know, I mean, you know, it, early on, issue 4 or 5, they defeat a group of villains, and they put them through the behavior modification process, and they have them join the squadron, and you know, they're very willing to help out because they feel like they're good now, and I've read 6 issues, the first 6 issues. I've got 6 more, plus there was a Captain America tie-in because Gruenwald was writing Captain America at the time. So I'll be interested to see how that works because it looks like there's this one main villain. It's almost like a Doctor Doom.
It in collected then?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have it collected too in some form.
Yeah. So 3 or 4 villains ask him to shunt them off to another universe because they know they're not going to be able to stay free in this particular world. And so I see that's where they show up in Captain America. So it's in, you know, the regular Marvel universe that they appear. But it's been a really fun ride so far as I'm halfway done. But like I said, Gruenwald liked this so much that he actually, when he passed away, he had asked his wife that when they cremated him, he actually wanted his ashes mixed with the creation of the paperback, which I have the second print, so it doesn't have any ashes in it, but the first print apparently has his actual ashes mixed in with the paper or the ink. I'm not sure which.
Yeah, it's like a kiss thing.
Yeah, with their blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a lot of fun. I haven't read this in 30 years. So I'm enjoying it quite a bit. Somebody posted on Twitter when I talked about it, you know, that they forgot how wordy things were back then. But, you know, not complaining about it, just saying that it's quite a difference between how comic books are written today. And he's absolutely right, where the first issue was a double-sized issue, and Mike, I'm not lying. It took me at least a half an hour to read the first issue.
And you know what?
I
like it more because at first you're like, do I have this much time to commit? Right.
Right.
I mean, so there's that downside. But once you read it, you're like, wow, I got a half hour of entertainment, and I got a lot out of it.
Absolutely.
And then you go read a new comic and it takes 5 minutes and it makes you feel a little different. Like, mm-hmm. It's like, well, maybe I like the older way better. Cause right now I'm in a mode where I truly am enjoying older books more than the newer books.
Are you? See, I don't mind going back and forth, but I agree with you. You're getting a lot for this.
Yeah.
Every individual issue probably takes me 20 to 25 minutes to read the regular size single issues of each one of these.
It's the same way with Ronin. Like I read less, like in Mike Gems Weekly Reads, but for
do you hear my dog?
Yeah.
She's trying to get the cat.
I feel like I get more.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, well, you do. You're getting more bang for your buck.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to go into my final book, and it's Splatter, which is Shock Horror.
Splatter.
And this ran 7 issues from 1991 to 1993. It had a winter special, and I had owned a couple of them. Me and Bill were talking about one issue. That I had owned, and it made me want to go buy some more. But what is it? It's a horror anthology. And it is really violent, but I'm going to quickly go over it. The first story is amazing. It has Tim Vigil art. And a lot of you might know Tim Vigil from a book called Faust in the 90s, but a lot of you probably don't know. It is adult violence. Like, it has a lot of nudity, sexual situations, and violence. And Splatter, he did some work. I think actually Faust started at Northwind Publishing. And Northstar, I keep calling them different names, but it's Northstar Publishing. And this story is pretty cool. It's about a werewolf having sex with a vampire woman, and eventually the city, the townsfolk catch up with the werewolf and sort of crucify him, and now it's like the woman's revenge, the vampire woman, because that was her lover. She wants to go and kill these people, and it likes gonna take her to Castle Frankenstein because she wants to resurrect her lover, and that's continued in issue two, but I don't have it, so I wanna read like if she's gonna resurrect her werewolf boyfriend or not. The second one is a really violent comic book. It is called Brainstorm, and it's about a guy that's drawing a comic. And he's like visualizing like total violence. He's drawing a comic about a serial killer. And he's like working with this friend, and he's like, well, I need to decapitate this head, and I'm going to show. Like, he's looking for shock horror. And what if these two people are standing making out, and I drive this spike right through him? And then it looks like as he's doing it, he's really doing it, but he's not. He's writing the story. And the way it ends, he like kills like a lot of people, but he doesn't. It's in his mind, and then he goes back to writing a comic book. The next one is called Strange Taste. This one is really drawn really weird. Like, I can't even describe it. It's almost like something like Mad Magazine-ish or cartoonish. But it works really well. It's very simple. It's this guy who orders a pizza. He's like, hey, yeah, bring two Cokes and bring a large pizza over. And this guy comes in, he says, put the pizza on the table, and he sort of gets this knife and slits the pizza guy's throat, and then he gets salt and pepper out, pops open the Coke, and just starts eating his face, and then he gets a
My
fork and a knife and cuts him open and just starts eating pieces of him. And then he sees the article in the paper, and it said 39th delivery person been reported missing.
God.
So he's like calling all the delivery people and eating them. The next one is a story about a really sexy woman. The illustrator is Tommy Pons. So the key illustrators in here are Tim Vigil, who could really, really, really draw nice. Like, he draws really good. Everything here is black and white. It's a story of a woman that knows she's having an affair with a guy, and the husband comes back and says, you wrote these letters to my wife, and he's seeking revenge. And she's getting chased with an axe. This husband's gonna kill her for sending these letters to his wife saying, hey, yeah, your husband's cheating. And she gets to this fountain, and she's like a witch, and she brings a bunch of cherubs. You know those little angels, baby angels with the bow and arrow, kind of like Cupid? She brings a bunch of them to life, and they essentially just kill him. And then a demon comes out of the water and sort of chases her. But she's all these dead people that she's killed. So this witch, like, lives off of the dead people and then has sex with them. It's so weird after they're already dead.
Oh my
So
God.
that's kind of like what Splatter's about. And then Splatter number three, this story was appropriate to me because, you know, like, you think of veterans and Memorial Day and those that sacrifice their lives to save us and let us live in peace and all that. The first story starts off really racist, okay? But it's trying to prove a point. It's like there's these neo-Nazis, and they find this black woman, and she's like giving money to this homeless guy. And they're like, "Let these neo-Nazis, you know, they have the Nazi symbols around their arms, and let's kill them." And they're using bad words like the N-word and all kinds of stuff. let's kill this old man and this person, and they're going to kill him, but the guy that she gave the money to is a Vietnam vet. Oh no, he's not a Vietnam vet. He's a World War II vet. So he's fought Nazis. So he sees the symbolism of Nazis on their shoulders, and he loses his shit. And he's like, I fought the war to get rid of Nazis. I killed Nazis. God damn you, Nazis. I killed you, son of a bitch, Nazis. He pulls out this gun and just blows them all the fuck away. So they messed with the wrong guy. This guy was trained to kill Nazis, and these neo-Nazis were killed. And then there's that same artist that drew that weird cartoon about the serial killer. He drew just a one-pager about a guy that returned his dish because he was sick, and then he essentially kills everybody that turns back their dishes and makes mo food for the next person. And so he co cooks all the people that complain about their dish. He kills them. The next story is about road rage, which I sort of liked. It's about this guy. He's causing all kinds of hell. And as soon as he drives by all these people, cuts them off, does nasty shit to them, he gives them the finger. Well, one of the motorcycle dudes follows him home and takes that finger, puts it down the garbage disposal, and takes his finger off. And then as he leaves, he takes the guy's ice cream that he bought, and he's walking out the door, and there's a line of people. Everybody that he threw the finger to is waiting in line to essentially do something to this guy. And then the last story was really hard to swallow, and I can't really make out what they were trying to say at the end, but it's very brutal. It's in times of slavery, and the slave finally gets away, and because she got away, the guy that she was a slave to, plus the three neighbors, they brutally rape her, and they sort of skin her alive, and the guy makes boots out of
Oh my
her
God.
skin, yeah, and then he's sort of haunted by her because of the boots, and he can't take off the boots. So it's really violent. It's really hard to read because it's not leaving anything to the imagination. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes the horror of it is not seeing it. And then the horror becomes not necessarily horror, but shock. And this is a story that went over the line, sort of, in my opinion, and went into like deep shock. And it was really hard. It was really hard to read because of what it was.
That last the last part, like the basic like the end result where he had the boots that he couldn't take off.
Yeah.
That reminds me, I think it was a waxwork horror story from that series that I think may have
Yeah, I like that.
ended.
That was really good.
Yeah, there was like a rock star or something that had pants that wouldn't come off. Do you
Oh
remember that?
yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
He
obviously it wasn't like this, but.
stole those pants from a rock star,
Oh,
and then
that's right. Yeah.
he became a rock star himself,
Yes, but he couldn't
and
get them
then he
off.
couldn't get the pants off. Yeah.
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 So you totally different way of getting to that point, but yeah, it was
Yeah.
interesting. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, so I read some books that I picked up from Reed, which Reed's shipment was mostly filling in my Conan holes, at least 1 through 150. So I have almost a continuous run of Conan, 1 through 150, and
Do you
now I
have
have to
number one?
work. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, the only ones that I'm missing that are sort of expensive are like 5 and 6.
Oh,
And
okay.
then I have a bunch of them, and then I'm missing like 30 through 39, and then I have everything to like 150.
Nice.
So yeah, and then he filled in some King Conan and some Kull, and I need to finish that run. But I think he's got the rest of it for me. Like, he only found half of it, and he said I could have sworn I had all of it. And then so this shipment had half of it, and then I think the other shipment's gonna have the rest of it.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So, gotta have just about everything that you need for Conan, huh?
Yeah. So that's it for me.
You know what? I'm not going to discuss the whole thing. I just want to ask you if you've ever heard of this one. Last night I watched a movie called Blood Harvest. And it's from the 80s, I want to say. It was either 81 or 87. I don't remember which. But it stars it stars Tiny Tim.
Oh.
It's the only movie he ever was in. So yeah, it's Tiny Tim. He's dressed almost the entire movie as a clown.
Yeah.
And basically the premise is that this girl comes back from college, back to her small hometown, and there's just a lot of, it's like during the recession and stuff, and there's a lot of poverty, and people's farms are all being foreclosed on and stuff, and her dad works at the bank, has to do the foreclosing, so obviously he's not a very popular person, even though it's not, you know, his decision himself. He only works there, but when she gets there, her parents are both missing. She doesn't know where her parents are. The only ones that are around that she talks to really are her ex-boyfriend, her brother, who is Tiny, or his brother rather, is Tiny Tim the clown. They just keep walking into her house, like just randomly, and like she's always like only half dressed. I don't mean to say that she's necessarily naked, but like she'll be wearing like an oversized shirt, you know, and like they just walk in and she's perfectly fine with like entertaining company whenever they happen to decide to just come into the house.
That's why she has a lot of company.
Very well could be. And then, you know, her current boyfriend comes, and he's, I don't know if you know him, but Peter Krause, he's the only really name in that. It was his first movie, besides Tiny Tim. He was in, I didn't watch it, but he was in 6 Feet Under. And I don't know, did you ever watch the TV show Parenthood?
I didn't watch Parenthood. I watched the movie Parenthood, but not the TV show.
He was basically the Steve Martin character in the TV show.
But he was is he the main guy that's in? He's one of the brothers that's in 6 Feet Under.
Yes.
It's the gay brother and the one that.
I never watched it, so Peter I don't know. Krause? So Peter Krause, yeah. Does Barb know him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He watched 6 Feet Under.
Yeah, so that was his first movie role. He played this girl's boyfriend from college. So he stopped over to visit with her. And so I mean it's a very, very basic, by numbers, low budget horror movie. I mean not particularly even scary or anything. But it was just very interesting to watch because Tiny Tim, played a very, very strange. Obviously, something wrong with him mentally. It was because his parents had killed themselves. So he had kind of gone off the rails and he just constantly dressed as a clown. But I watched it on Shudder. It wasn't available as a movie itself, but they have a series. Do you remember Joe Bob Briggs?
Yeah, it was the drive-in theater.
Uh-huh. So he has a series now on Shudder, which is basically the same thing. It's like called The Last Drive-In or something, and he does the same thing. So he did that.
Yeah, he's kind of like Elvira, right? I mean, yeah, he's just the host, and they shows a movie.
Smaller breasts than Elvira, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a bigger hat. So he covered that on his last week's episode, and so I watched it that way. You couldn't actually get the movie by itself, but I could watch the episode, and it was actually interesting to watch that way. I kind of skipped through a lot of the first 10 minutes of him just talking, And then when he started talking about the actual movie itself, that I watched his introduction, and then, you know, they have like maybe three or four breaks between the movie where they might interview somebody, or they'll go back to him and he'll talk about the movie for a few minutes. So I watched it that way, and it was pretty interesting. Definitely nothing mind blowing. Just interesting in that Tiny Tim is there, and of course he's singing in his falsetto voice very often, and that was interesting.
With the ukulele, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, so that is what I watched last night. Blood Harvest.
That sounds interesting. I don't think I've seen it. If I've seen it, I don't remember it.
Yeah. Do you have Shudder or no?
No.
Yeah. So I think that's the only way you can get it right now. It was unavailable otherwise when I checked with my Amazon TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the other thing I just wanted to mention, Mike, before we go, is that I should be getting the DC Universe app very, very soon for Father's Day.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. You're gonna like that one.
I'm looking forward to it.
It changed a lot. They have so much comics on there
that's,
now.
That's it's what like, I understand.
And the thing that it like changed so much that like every other episode, me and Kyle rotate, mm-hmm. and we pick something off the app that we want to read, and then we both read it. So.
And you weren't able to do that probably 6 months ago, but now, yeah. I mean,
well, we
there's
could,
so
but
much.
it would be more limited. Now they have so much. So like, I started reading Manhunter again, even though, because I loved it so much. So I picked Kate Spencer's Manhunter.
Nice.
I'm going to be covering that next. And he picked Adam Strange, which was the deluxe, and that was awesome. Like, I loved it so much.
Yeah, that's nice to hear. And I'll be watching the Super Friends with the kids, or at least with Zach. I don't know if Allie will want to or not, but watch the Super Friends. We'll check out what other TV shows they have available.
But you don't want your kids to watch Titans or Doom
No,
Patrol.
No, they're not going to watch Titans.
Yeah. Or Doom Patrol.
No, or probably Swamp Thing, because that's coming, by the end of the week?
But you can see all the animated cartoons. Like they, yep. I watched recently the Ray animated one, which is the Freedom Fighters.
Yep.
It has the Ray and the Freedom Fighters on it. That one's pretty dark because it does have like Nazis in it. Like, so what if the Nazis won the war in this world?
Yeah.
And it sort of ties into the CW universe, but it's interesting.
I'm kind of hoping, now I don't know if they'll do it, but I'm kind of hoping they'll have like a little promo or something for Father's Day. But I don't know if they will. But either way, Stacy's gonna get me a year subscription for it.
I think you'll find that it is like Marvel Unlimited. So if you enjoy that service, then you'll enjoy this.
I will.
And
but
it's got more because it's got more
the TV stuff.
Yeah, it's got TV and movies. You mm-hmm. can watch Superman again if you want. You could watch Legends of the Superheroes. That's so old and campy that nobody ever knows about that. But
yeah,
it's got Adam West, Batman, and Hawkman, and all kinds of stuff. It's got crazy special effects.
I can see myself watching a lot of the cartoon stuff with the kids, or at least with Zach. And in terms of the original shows, like I watched the first episode that when they allowed the first episode for free, I watched the first episode of Titans. Didn't like it as much as the Doom Patrol, but I like it enough that I certainly want to watch the whole season.
I actually think Doom Patrol
I thought was great.
I actually think that you'll like it, but I think mm-hmm. it's going to take a while. I think once they introduce Damian,
mm-hmm.
and once you get into like the Batman at the end, it is really Elseworld. But if you go in with that mindset, I think you'll like it.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna like it as well.
Yeah.
And the Doom Patrol was like right when I was in the middle of reading that collection.
Yeah.
That they made it available that you could watch the first episode. So I'm like, oh my God, this is fantastic.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it. So that's a good Father's Day gift.
I thought so too. And if I like it enough, then I'll tell Stacy every year. Just get me a Just Renew.
Yeah.
Just renew. Your gift is already done.
I would be shocked if you don't find what like $7.99 value in it a month.
Oh yeah. Oh,
I literally totally agree. Because even if you look at it from a perspective, if I read three comics, you're there. If you watch one TV show for an hour and it's worth it, that's almost worth like a price of a movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like even
yep.
if it's one or two.
Yeah,
so
sure.
It's like if you put things into perspective on how much entertainment costs,
right?
You're getting your money's worth. I do. I kind of switched more from watching to reading, but mm-hmm. I feel like I'm getting my money's worth.
Well, I'm sure you'll watch the Swamp Thing when it comes out, too,
well,
right?
I still have to watch Doom Patrol. I've only
oh,
watched the
oh, you
first
haven't watched
episode.
Anyone? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I started watching the old Shazam TV show because I have fond memories of it. So I've been rewatching that. And it's ridiculous because you have this guy with the power of Shazam that drives around in a Winnebago solving these kid crimes across the world with like, what's the lesson, mortals? And he talks to the gods. You need to save this blind kid because he's losing faith in himself. And that's what he does. So it's that kind of thing. But brings a lot of memories back. I remember watching a lot of these.
I think a full year is only like something like $76, too. And so
yeah.
you're really even saving even more so by...
Yeah, if you buy the bundle, that's the way to go. Because mm-hmm. you're really making your money's worth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to do that. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it, to watch some of those series. And I'm looking forward to, like, on the weekends or whatever, throwing on Super Friends or some other ones and seeing if it captures Zach's attention, which I think that it will because some of the other shows that we've watched, like, I mean, we've bought – I didn't own any of this stuff, but we've bought on, like, DVD, like the complete collection of Scooby-Doo and stuff like that because
yeah.
he can just sit there. I can turn that on, and he would just sit there and just watch episode after episode of Scooby-Doo. Like
mm-hmm.
the old 1969 Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I don't think it makes a difference that those are so old. When you're 5 or 6 years old like that, I mean, it's just something that just captures their attention, you know?
Yeah, true that.
Yeah. So that's about it.
Yep. You have tomorrow off?
I have tomorrow off. Do
oh,
you?
Good deal. Yes, I do.
Yes.
I have that and part of Tuesday because we got somebody coming to replace a sliding door, so
okay.
I'll be home for that.
That'll be good to get it replaced, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah. I gotta do some housework, do some stuff around the house. I gotta mow and then I've got a few different options for what room I wanna clean up and organize first, so I'm not sure what I'm gonna do, but we have plenty of things that we could get organized and cleaned up in the house. So it's
yeah,
spring
I'm still
cleaning
trying,
time.
Yeah, same here. I'm trying to get the book room sort of situated, but it's so heavy and it's a process. And I really damaged my feet yesterday with all the work I did. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm planning on taking stuff to the storage unit. So I just got to get around to doing it.
Now, what do you think? How do you like that? I mean, how far away is the storage? Is your storage unit?
About a mile and a half.
Oh,
probably.
That's nice and close. But what do you? I mean, do you like having things not on site?
Yeah, because I could just drive there and get it. It's like,
all right, so it doesn't bother
it's an,
you.
It's an indoor storage unit. No,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't
okay,
bother
that's,
me.
That's good.
I
don't know.
I don't put
want
my
things.
Captain
Here.
Marvels there. I know what to put there and what not to put there.
You put your bet. You're
not going to put my Uncanny
X-Men
that I'm purchasing over there. No, I'm not going to do that.
You won't do that.
Yeah, but it gives me more space. And as
yeah.
if I like all my Epic collections are over there on a bookshelf now.
Mm-hmm.
So well, I still have
I mean,
a few more boxes of it to take over. But for the most part, if I want to read an Epic collection, I just go over there to the bookshelf and pull it right off the bookshelf and.
And it makes sense because, you know, especially like collections and stuff. I mean,
yeah,
you don't need to have access to them 24/7, right? I mean, if you need any of those. You can just.
Well, they're open 7 days a week from like seven a.m. to
yeah. You don't need to be to have them in your own houses. Is what I'm saying.
I don't need to like. I don't get the urge to say, oh damn, it's midnight. I'm going to read this epic collection. It's not here, and I can't go to the storage. You know, I'll plan ahead if that's the case.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's good.
All righty. Well, I will talk to you again in 2 weeks.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully. A lot of stuff going on, especially now that we're entering the summer months.
Yeah, it's busy. Everyone gets busy.
All righty. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Bye. Bye. That's what I saw the other day, making that weird noise. But this one must have been a female, because it's not shiny. It was like gray, but it has the same colorings.
Yeah, the grayer ones are the females.
They're not shiny, but it was probably calling for a mate, like, get over here.